The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you see the news, and it looks pretty bad. It looks terrifying. And I remind myself, because I have to remind myself, all my hope in God is founded. He is the one who will carry us through the uncertainties of life. As I've told you probably a million times, God communicates to us through creation, especially other people. I probably spend as much time studying the Bible as anyone in here, and it's rarely more than 2 hours a day, which means 22 hours a day I'm not studying the Bible. Which means 22 hours a day, God's talking to me through other places. It's important to remember that if you're listening, you're more likely to hear. Remember this? We have to do that in the world to hear. Now, there is a group of people to whom God spoke and whose words were written down, and Israel kept them. And there's lots of people who were prophets, but very few, when you get down to 12 books, 12 of them were identified as prophets whose words were written down and remembered. That's called canonization. To canonize something is to say it is a rule. It literally means rule. I used to be a canon at the cathedral. I mean, that was my title. I was the canon. I always said, tell them they don't want the canon to be taken, brought up, right? But it's not that kind of canon. It's a rule. So the words of the prophets are rules by which we understand and have insight into who God calls us to be and how God wants us to be in the world. Micah, whose name means who is like Yahweh, is one of those people. He's roughly in the same time period as Isaiah. And, you know, what God never tells us is, like, what's going, the stuff we want to know is, like, did they hang out? Like, did Micah call Isaiah and say, what's God telling you today? You know, it would be really fascinating to know that on the ground stuff, but we don't know it. And then on page 669 in the Bibles, that would be the black book that says B-I-B-L-E, you will find 5 pages of words that this man Micah spoke 2,800 years ago. And Micah's book begins with the words, hear. He tells the people to hear. Then he says to the whole earth, listen. Hear. Listen. That is a sufficient message to meditate on this morning. Will we hear and will we listen? Can we hear about God's plan for the world through Israel when millions of people, including our own country, are marching in the streets to say death to Israel? And are we willing to maintain our belief that God has promised something that we believe is a promise? And that this people is a gift to the world. And that's what I think we're called to do. Hear this. But then the paradox is, here's the message. He says to Israel, the northern kingdom, Samaria. And he says to Judah, the southern kingdom, you are doomed. You are doomed for your sins. I will come among you and crush your idols. I will destroy them. And we preached on the false gods over and over. And we see in these words to Israel, words directed to us as well. I mean, we see that. That's what we believe, that in Messiah we are part of this people. And that our idols will be crushed and our nation, our church, will suffer the doom of choosing to reject God. And God's primary focus, and let's be clear, it's on the powerful. Like he does blast the people time to time. But his major focus is on the leadership, what we would call secular leaders and religious leaders. God hates economic oppression. And it's so troubling to me because I don't know what to do. I've always told you, I just don't know what to do. I'm sitting around trying not to be so fat in a world where people are dying of starvation. It's like, what the? Like, God can't look at that and say, well, you know, that's all. I'm cool with that. I know he hates economic oppression, but there are people who are pulling the levers and making it happen. In Micah, he literally says, God is mad that rich people are buying up homes and property and that the poor cannot work and cannot find a place to live. And today, in America, that is going on in spades, and we don't know about it because we're old and we have houses, but our kids and our grandkids know about it. The working poor know about it. They can't buy houses because they're being bought up by multinational corporations and rich people who are trying to get, and probably my retirement fund. I'm probably owning houses somewhere through one of those million funds. You know, so I'm actually part of the whole process. But God hates that. He told Micah, I hate that people do that. And what he really hates is that women and children are the victims. And that brings us into whole, you know, the exploding buildings and the children. You know, it's like there's nowhere to look that you're not seeing God saying, I really don't like this at all. I really don't like this at all. And while we're sitting around saying, you know, God, you should do something, he's saying, you're blaming me? You're blaming me? That's the word from Micah. God compares our economic I'm saying ours as well as theirs, to cannibalism, that we literally eat the poor and the needy, literally eat them. And he calls out the prophets and the priests and rulers, and as half of the priests in this church, it's worrisome. Because what he says is, you preach and teach based on the payoff to yourself. And Lord knows I try not to do that, but I'm sure I do. I'm sure I make sure I don't say anything that's going to cause you to be up in arms. Well, not all the time. I guess sometimes. But he says the problem is when priests and prophets are saying, what's in this for me? When we have churches where priests become ministers become multimillionaires, and get airplanes and helicopters and, you know, three homes because they're preaching the gospel. So what God says is, you're going to be in darkness. You're not going to hear anything. You're going to be in blindness. And the threat is real. And I keep saying, all our hope in God is founded. All our hope in God is founded. There's no political or religious leaders that I can turn to and say, here they are. The social evils that the prophets warn us about bring condemnation on the nation. And I'm going to say what I've said 100 times. I know for you, as a typical American, it would be, where do I go when I die, right? That's what well, if you die tonight, where are you going to go? To the morgue. I mean, that's where I'm going to go, to the morgue. That's not the question the Bible asks about, are you going to heaven? The question the Bible asks is, are you as a people of God going to act in accordance with God's will, or will you allow the world's chaos to consume you so that on the news you get to watch pictures of dead babies? and people weeping in the streets. That's what the judgment of God is. It's geopolitical. And that's in the Bible. And I promise you, I've read the Bible more than once. That's what it says. It's geopolitical. And what Micah said to Israel is, Assyria is coming, and they're going to wipe you out. And that's what happened. That's the lost tribes of Israel. They were wiped out. And what he says to Judah is, Babylon is coming, and it's going to plow you. And they're going to plow you. The city's going to turn into just empty wasteland. This is hundreds of years before it happened. It happened. Micah told the people what God is going to do. And I've told you what God's going to do. I told you what God's going to do. But that's not the last word. The last word of judgment is reordering chaos. And the last word of judgment is raising the dead. That's the last word. My hope in God is founded. All my hope in God is founded, because that's salvation. In the days to come, Micah says, Jerusalem will be the highest mountain in all the earth, over every other mountain. And all the nations will come to God for instruction. And St. Paul would tell us that prophecy began to be fulfilled in Jesus, because that's exactly what's happened. I view Jerusalem as one of my spiritual centers, and probably the primary one. I view Jerusalem as the place I'm going to go for God to instruct me in how to live and how to be. And from Jerusalem is where shalom, peace is going to come out of. And then I see the news. And I see who wants to take over Jerusalem. And by the way, Islam, they're not in favor of this reading, this gospel. That's not what they're preaching. What God preaches to all of us is we're going to have enough. Which for many of us is terrible, because we don't want enough. I'd like more than enough, thank you. I want that all-you-can-eat buffet. Right? And what God has promised is all of us will have enough. But he's also promised the weak and the outcast are also going to be gathered in. And so this is my message today. Please don't be shocked. Better days are coming. Please don't be terrorized. I'm telling you today not to focus on what you need to do, but focus on trusting that God's promise is better days are coming. And that's what we have to cling to. And I close with just a verse which typically I would have preached on. Paul says, live a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Not the kingdom of America, or not the kingdom of globalism, or not the kingdom of economic prosperity. The kingdom of God. That's what we're called into. He says, you and I need to live a life worthy of that calling. And Jesus says, if you want to be great, be a servant. And we have spent our whole life being told that the person in the chair being served, that's what you want to be. That's what you want to be. And Jesus said, nah. You want to be the guy shining the shoes. You want to be the guy shining the shoes, not the guy sitting in the chair looking down on the person shining the shoes. So I'm preaching to myself. If this helps you, very good. We cannot give in to fear or despair. Even though the data indicates you should be very afraid and you should give up all hope. That's the data. That's the facts. We cannot give in to fear and despair. We must focus on what the Lord has done in the past, what the Lord is doing now, and trust in what God promises he will do in the future. All our hope on God is founded. So let us live a life worthy of this hope. Amen.